Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quinncast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello and welcome to the new episode of Dr. Quinncast. It is Kelly here with Mark as always.
Hello, Kelly. Thank you for not quitting.
Not today.
Not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe later. Maybe during this episode.
Yeah, maybe during this episode I'll storm off. But I'll come back and then I'll storm off again.
Well, we signed contracts so we're allowed to quit at least once a day.
Yeah, it's, I think, even more binding than Hank's contracts, actually.
Thank God. Yeah, those seem to be able to be easily breakable.
Yeah.
See ya, Emma.
Well, she didn't even have a contract.
Wait, you're right, actually. You saved somebody a letter. Dear Mark. So, let me just ask. All right, so since we're on the subject of Hank and contracts, which have nothing to do with this episode that we're about to talk about, what kind of contract do you think that Hank had with Myra? Was that a fight? Like, did she borrow money, you think? Or what was the deal there? Right? I don't know if they ever talked about it.
He probably just contracted. What I always assumed is that he contracted the girls for like a certain amount of time.
And paid like in advance?
Yeah, like maybe like so that they're like committed to working for him for like, I don't know, let's say 5 years, 10 years. Like who knows what it is.
61 years, yeah.
for life. you know, and maybe there were other things in the contract too. I mean, like he also seems pretty specific about that they just need to do like whatever he wants when he wants it. So, I mean, you know, who knows? And who even wrote these contracts, right? Because he wasn't literate. It's not like he wrote the contract. I mean, it could have just been a generic piece of paper that basically just made him be like, well, you belong to me now. But right.
He looks at it, it's like scribble. I don't know what this says.
But he doesn't require it, apparently, because Emma did not have a contract. But also in the sixth season, when Hank is trying to like get rid of Daniel and he sends the prostitute to the jail.
Yeah.
But then he kind of talks her into like leaving. Well, and then there also is that episode when Marjorie is there and she talks the prostitutes into leaving too and like starting over.
Oh, that's right. And they go to the hot springs.
Yeah. And like they're able to apparently, because they all like, in all those instances, like, you know, they hop on the train and like get out. So I'm like, did they not have contracts or did they have one and they're just like, screw it, I'm leaving.
We need to go back and pay attention more.
Because like Myra is the only one that like we specifically hear about the contracts. So I guess, but there is, she's not the only one though, because remember when she was like, give me my contract, he opens up that box and he's like shuffling through papers.
Right.
Which there might have been other paperwork that's not like, you know, contracts or whatever for the prostitutes in there, but like he has like a stack of these, which leads us to believe that probably all the girls have one. I don't know, but that's like a good question. I don't know,
but what episode are we talking about today?
Well, anyway, so not related to the prostitution and contracts, but related to I guess documents.
Yeah.
We are talking about Civil Wars, which is season 6, episode 10, originally aired on December 6th, 1997.
Civil Wars!
This episode, I really like this episode. I enjoy watching it. It's one that I honestly, like, it does not really stick out in my mind before the past few years. And it's like, I know I had to see it because I had the DVDs. I'm like watching all of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it just like didn't really like stick with me, I guess, until maybe like a few years ago. And I'm like, that actually is a pretty interesting episode.
Yeah, it is a fun
episode. Sometimes it just hits different after a while or something.
Well, there's no Sully in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he still is, he's, you know,
MIA at this point.
He still is out, you know, hiding and stuff.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, and we, of course, this is coming right after the diphtheria epidemic, where we lost some big characters. I mean, Becky died, and then Marjorie died. Not that she was necessarily a huge character in the show, but she was in there a few times, and it was Dr. Mike's sister. You know, so that was a big loss. And then obviously, well, then Lauren, you know, who was, they had
he lost,
I don't know the word you're going to use. I don't, I mean,
they were a tryst.
Sort of with each other. Like, they had a thing going on or whatever. And he's taking it really hard.
Yeah.
And then Grace and Robert E. recently lost Anthony.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot Anthony was also.
Yeah, so like they're dealing with the aftermath of that.
Anthony too. Kind of, yeah,
it's kind of like a perfect storm where, you know, people are just all kind of going through some stuff, and they are ready to take it out on their neighbors.
Well, Anthony will always be remembered for dropping plates in my house.
Yeah,
he was always dropping food.
But I mean, he had the.
I know he had sickle cell anemia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so he couldn't really help it.
I know. I'm just.
But yeah, he does. Yeah,
it kind of makes you
wonder why Grace just kept giving him stuff to carry.
But where are we? We are in the Gazette office, and Matthew kind of comes in there, and it looks like they're being caught in the middle of something, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But,
well, so like Matthew at the beginning of this episode, he is kind of like just walking around. Getting into people's business, sort of. Like,
writing tickets.
Well, because he, like, walks around to the Gazette. He sees this going on. Then he goes to the store, and then, like, something unfolds there. And I'm like, he's just walking around. Like, he's just making the rounds. He has nothing better.
Like, who
are you?
Well,
he has everything better to do. He's not the sheriff anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have a job, right?
That's like, right. He's not the sheriff. Why am I thinking he's the sheriff? I'm sorry.
Well, so he had, so, sixth season. So, Daniel's the sheriff now.
Yeah, that's right.
We see him like later on arresting Hank and everything.
Yeah, I forgot.
But, so Matthew had quit because of the whole Sully thing. And so he's not the sheriff anymore. In this episode, he kind of, I guess, decides to become a lawyer, maybe. But I don't... I guess he maybe just has a lot of free time because he doesn't really have a job. Like, I guess he probably does more like, you know, he probably still does like the odd jobs, like chopping on the tree for the widow.
Yeah, for like $2.
You know, stuff like that. But he probably just is like, I don't really have anything to do. I'm just going to walk around town.
Well, Sully's out of the picture. I'll do what he does. Just walk back and forth all day.
9 to 5, stroll on the street.
Hey, it worked for him. And he, you know, he got married to Michaela.
Yeah, well, like, next thing you know, like, Matthew's walking up the street, he has, like, a wolf. It's not a wolf, but it's a wolf. He gets his own wolf.
It's a beagle.
He walks on the street with a beagle.
That'd be awesome. Matthew would do well with a beagle. I see that. Or a bloodhound, maybe. A big old bloodhound. But here we
I
are.
He needs a hunting dog.
Yeah, he needs maybe a poodle.
So, yeah.
But so here we are. We're in the Gazette office.
Need some help?
Whoops.
We're all right.
Are you doing a little fall cleaning?
There's just so much clutter in here.
You can help if you want.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, Matthew, while you stand there doing absolutely nothing, why don't you grab a broom?
Yeah, right.
Need anything? Give a holler.
Thanks, Matthew. Miss Dorothy?
Mm-hmm.
I found this behind the shelves.
Some legal document.
Oh, that's garbage.
Myra's contract. It's her original contract.
I guess I own Myra now. That would be a very odd twist all of a sudden. Dorothy ends up owning. And you know what? To be fair, what would have been incredible is if this deed showed an overlap somehow with the saloon.
Oh, right, get Hank involved on that.
I would have loved to hear the conversation between Dorothy and Hank.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, I don't care. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Take a case of whiskey.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would have loved to hear that.
This looks like the original deed to this building when it was the telegraph office.
They weren't under an oath. that was pre-oath.
Yeah, pre-oath.
So Aunt Tilly's soda cocktail. Soda back then was a weird thing, you know?
Yeah.
It would be like really carbonated and it would be sediment on the bottom. And
yeah, maybe it has crazy. A little cocaine in it.
Hey, you know, double your money back. I would, you know.
Yeah.
You got to have a reason to keep coming back to buy more.
It just didn't make me high enough.
But it says it's the best drink you ever tasted, or double your money back.
Yeah, it's quite the guarantee.
Yeah.
Aunt Tilly's soda cocktail, best drink you ever tasted, or double your money back.
Just come in from Frisco.
They actually guarantee it?
No, I guarantee it. Only 2 bits a bottle.
2 bits?
Well, shipping's expensive. Besides, you don't like it, you get double your money back. What do you got to lose?
I'll take a case.
Case?
And one of your Havana Golds.
I don't know when Havana Gold became illegal. I mean, this is all way before any type of embargo.
Mm-hmm.
But I know very little about cigars. But I didn't know that Cuban cigars were considered something even back then.
Yeah. That's interesting. And also, it's apparently Hank's favorite, but I'm not sure. That can't be what he's smoking all the time, though. Because
no.
Often when we see him smoking, it looks like it's like a much lower quality.
It's like a rolled type, like a small.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, he maybe even like rolls it himself or something.
I could see him having a little rolling machine or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So those are kind of like his everyday smokers, but then like the Cubans are kind of his special. It's kind of interesting though that Lauren even says that like the company did not make the guarantee, like he does. So I'm makes him so like sure? I don't get it. I mean, like, did he just think the soda was really great, and then he's like, everybody's gonna love this? Why would he like put that guarantee there? It's not even like a company guarantee, and it's like the company wouldn't be reimbursing him if someone didn't like it. He would be reimbursing somebody.
But, you know, when somebody's offering you double your money back, I mean, probably there's going to be people who take advantage of that.
Oh, well, it's like at Aldi. I know we've talked at length about Aldi before.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's coming over from Walnut Grove Cast is like, great, don't bring up Aldi again.
I love Aldi.
I do love Aldi, too. There was that one episode we talked about for a while.
What's your favorite Aldi product?
My favorite Aldi product?
Aside from, like, the hose wrapper. They sell the weirdest stuff.
They do. I mean, it's, like, some of the, like, the staple stuff that we do buy there is, like, we do buy their wine because
Man, I'm so jealous. We don't even... The best we get in our... No, you know, we don't even get beer in our Aldi.
Oh, really? Yeah. So we have, like, wine and beer. But I guess Aldi, they make, like, liquor and stuff, too. Like, I think they have, like, a whiskey that has, like, won prizes. But, like, so here we can't have, like, liquor in, like, grocery stores, but you can have, like, beer and wine.
Wow.
So I've never had, like, I'm not really that into, like, whiskey and stuff anyway. I'm not a Hank, so I might not even like it. But apparently, like, it's, like, won all these, like, you know, big awards and stuff. But, yeah, so we will, like, regularly.
Right? It's, yeah. You know, given an opportunity to have it, you just try and you're like, ugh.
Yeah. But we like regularly buy their wine because it's very inexpensive. But for how inexpensive it is, it's like better than you would expect it
to
be.
Like Trader Joe's, right?
Yeah, right. It's that same thing where I'm like, I'm not saying it's the best wine in the world, but for what you're paying for it, like definitely like, you know, it's a good return for like your money, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we like, you know, we'll buy that. And then, what else do we get? That's like sort of like an Aldi exclusive. Well, we like these fruit snacks there that are really good. They have like really good chocolate. And then
they do have good chocolate. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's really good. So like stuff like that. And then like, we'll pick up, you know, sort of your standard stuff, like some meat and stuff. Although I wouldn't really say that necessarily is like spectacular above other grocery stores, except that the price is good.
Yeah, we buy like their hummus and like pita chips.
Oh yeah, we've gotten their hummus too.
Yeah.
Oh, they have this good pimento cheese stuff that's like really good.
I have to look for it.
So they have like two kinds. So it's like a regular pimento cheese, and then they have this one that's like jalapeno pimento cheese. They're both good. We've had both of them. Yeah. So this now that I'm thinking about it, there are like a number of like Aldi exclusive things that I'm like, they're actually pretty good.
This episode is brought to you by Aldi.
Yeah.
I wish.
I'm just bummed that they don't have pate there, though, because I love pate.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that they wouldn't have that. It is kind of surprising. It's not exactly a German food, right?
Yeah. They have some good pet stuff, too. I know I've talked about that before. My pets love, like, their treats and, like, the cans of wet food and stuff.
No, do you have a Lidl near you? A Lidl?
We do, but I actually haven't gone there. But we do have one, and I've heard very good things about it. And I know they have good pet stuff.
I hate Lidl. I hate all of their products. I think 90% gross, right? But their pet food, our dogs, like, love it.
So they have, like, our friends have had, like, dog biscuits from there, and then my dog has had them, and I guess he really liked them a lot.
Get some of these.
I've never gone there and bought it, although I've heard, like, you know, I've heard good things about it.
You come home, and they're like, did you steal these?
Yeah, I know. But at Aldi, and we will get back to our
program
shortly here, but they have, in addition to, like, the food and everything that they like, they have, like, some good, like, little pet stuff. Like, I've gotten, like, these little dog sweaters that are, like, really cute, and they're,
like, $5.
Yeah, I've seen that stuff, yeah. Yeah, and it's, like, $5, which is, like, a pretty good deal, because you go to, like, PetSmart, and, like, a similar sweater would be, like, $30.
Right, you know? If it like, lasts it's, like, a season, you're good, you know? It's, like...
Yeah, yeah. And then Pete bought this toy there a few days ago that it's, like, this, like, rubber, like, chewy thing, and it has, like, this liquid in the middle, so you, like, freeze it, so it becomes, like, nice and cool and stuff. And it's supposed to be, it's, like, supposed to be not destructible, but, like, my dogs will, like, destruct anything. Like, right. Toys are just, like, gone, right? And it actually, like, Dodgy's been going to town on this thing, and, like, there's not even a tooth mark on it.
Oh, it's that's amazing. Great.
Yeah, like, I'm like, this actually is, like, a good toy that he hasn't destroyed yet.
Yeah,
but anyway,
buy our
so they have, like,
toys.
You know, kind of good stuff like that. And also the bill when we go there is always really cheap because we can buy, like, all of this stuff, like, all of our food that we need, and it'll be, like, you know.
Like, $30 or $40 bucks, and it's like, what?
Like, it's like four it's just, bags like, of crazy stuff. Cheap. But then we go to, like, you know, some other grocery store, and we'll buy, like, less stuff, and it'll be, like, double the money somehow. I'm like, what?
You look at it, and it's like, it was that fancy bacon you bought.
Yeah. Oh, but what I was going to get at, though, with the double your money back guarantee is, so Aldi has that thing where, like, if you're not satisfied with the product, they'll, like, give you, like, double your money. Or they have, like, is it double or the, like,
I've never heard
of
that.
Yeah, the twice as nice guarantee, that's what they call it. Yeah, twice as nice guarantee. So
I
if you
bet
don't like
you,
it.
Yeah, I don't bet. Yeah. I bet New York does not get that.
Oh, well, we have the twice as nice guarantee. So, like, if you are not satisfied, you can get double your money back. And I have, like, seen people there, like, taking advantage of that. And it's just like, man, that's, like, stupid.
It's filet mignon, come on. It's like $81.
Like, it was so terrible that you ate all of it, but...
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated every second of it.
What was he going to do, starve? Oh, I love people. But yeah, I don't see that happening in New York. That would last all of 15 minutes. That's...
Yeah.
Just like this conversation? No, my fault. Yeah. I take full responsibility. But here's the rest of that clip. Let's bring it back to 1860, what, 7 at this point?
Let's bring it back to the original twice as nice guarantee.
1869, this would be.
Season 6. No, yeah. This is like the 70s. So if the show starts in 67 and this is season 6, we're at like 73?
I thought it started in 63.
No, 67.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's after the Civil War, remember?
Yeah, that makes sense. Here we go.
One of your Van Goghs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just sold the last one.
The Cubans are my brand.
Yes, I know. You're the one who recommended them to me. Gracias.
It's just gracias.
I love, like, thinking about little, like, day-to-day relations with characters that we don't really see. Mm-hmm. I would have, like, just loved to hear the conversation where he's, like, recommending that to Preston.
Yeah.
Like does he just, like, walk up and he's like, you're smoking that junk? Let me tell you about a good cigar. Or something, like, how did it come up? You know, yeah. Or, like, Preston's just like, oh, I'm, like, I don't like this cigar. It sucks. And then he'll be like, oh, Lauren carries the Havana.
Well, it's probably Hank wanting to kind of, like, get closer with the new cool guy, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Get in with
something
the
banker. Something they can, like, bond over. Well, and then we know that Preston goes to the saloon because we've seen him at the saloon. So I guess, like, you know, taking a couple shots with Hank or whatever and start talking about cigars.
Hanky! He probably calls him Hanky.
Hanky!
You think you're funny, don't you?
She... Out of my way.
So he puts his fist up in a kind of a weird way and he just belts Horace right in the face.
Yeah.
Complete
and then
accident.
Preston's like just lighting his cigar, like, whatever, man. And then Matthew comes up and he's even kind of laughing about it.
Now, what would you say if you hit somebody in the face? You'd apologize, right? You'd be like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, I would apologize, sure.
Let's listen to what Hank says to him.
Watch where you're going.
Watch where you're going. And Horace is just holding his nose. The only thing that would have been better is just to have it pouring blood or something.
I know. I'm almost surprised, like, we really don't ever see blood, but...
Yeah, it's just the way the show is sometimes. But yeah, the shots that you got, the screenshots are so funny. But yeah, Matt's like kind of coming in.
You all right?
My nose! I think you broke my nose!
It's like, grab your change. Let's go over to Dr. Mike's. This is going to be 15 cents. And she's wrapping his nose. I mean, oh man, I've never broken my nose, but I can imagine that it would hurt quite a bit. I've got hidden in the face,
yeah,
though, and
yeah.
You do get those stars.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
I have to say, I'm not sure about the bandage. It looks like maybe it's not that effective.
I don't know. It's just weird. I like how you refer to Dr. Michaela as Dr. Quinine, which I just think is so funny.
Sorry,
Horace. Sounds like someone could use the fiend.
Yeah.
Sounds like a dog. Like, my dog makes noises.
Yeah, exactly.
Broken noses can be quite painful. But it should feel better in a few days. As long as you don't touch it.
Thanks, Dr. Mike. You think I could pay you next month?
I just sent money to Myra and Samantha.
Of course.
You know, Horace, this is really Hank's responsibility.
You're right. You should be more careful.
No, I mean, Horace got himself what they call a tort.
What?
A tort. It means you can get Hank to pay Dr. Mike's fees because it was his fault.
Oh, sure.
I thought that was Hank. A turtle.
You're so smart, Matthew. Where did these law books come from?
Were they just in the library? Like, did Michaela's father have them?
What would he have them for?
Which, by the way, if he did... So, I will get into this as we come to these scenes, but I think Michaela is far too simple and ignorant.
Oh my god,
in this
yes.
episode. That she... It's really out of character for her to act that way. I mean, because, like, she's educated, right? So, like, yeah, she's not a lawyer, but she is educated. And mm-hmm. some of the stuff just seems so basic that it's like, I just, like, she would not be, like, you know, acting this way or asking these questions about it. But if they are in the library, that's, like, from her father, that even, like, makes it doubly worse because
yeah, really.
We know that she, like, read all the books her father had, right? Like, she spent a lot of time in his library. So I just, like, don't really believe that she's this ignorant about it.
Yeah, it's really bizarre to me. I agree with you. It's as though she didn't come from Boston, where probably there were lawsuits with everyone. You would pick it up. It would just be something that happens.
Well, right. I mean, it was like a lot of people were like suing. I mean, it's been like a staple of America, basically. Even
sure.
since colonial times, people have been like suing each other all the time for stuff.
It's an American way. It's the dream. Yeah.
And you're in a place like Boston. You're like, you know, in like a well-off family.
Malpractice?
I'm sure that like you would have been exposed to a lot of this kind of stuff going on.
But apparently not. She was sheltered, I guess. Very bizarre. I feel like the same way with the billing. You know, she should have known better.
Oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, I mean, didn't you see your father bill patients, you know?
Right. Now, when did Matthew become the smartest person in town?
When he had so much time on his hands that he just started reading law books. Well, and that's the other thing about this episode. So they all act like he's like a genius because he's like, I can look this up in a book. Which, okay, so yeah, becoming a lawyer back then was obviously a lot easier and way different than like becoming a lawyer now.
It seemed like it was a little harder than becoming a doctor, though.
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm just like, man, like any one of these people could like look stuff up in books too, which is basically what he's doing.
Right. It's kind of like you're thinking somebody's a genius because they went on Wikipedia or something.
Yeah. Because they like Googled something. And you're like, wow.
But all right, I'm going to play the clip so I can stop harping on this.
You seen Hank?
No.
Who is this?
Well, it seems to be the original deed that belonged to the telegraph company.
I never saw that.
Well, we just found it. It had slipped behind one of the bookcases.
Why would Horace see it? I mean, does Horace own the telegraph office?
I would think not because, well, this is like so weird because it's like with the church thing that we just talked about, like the reverend owns the church. Like what? It's so bizarre. Why would he, I would not think that he would own the telegraph office.
Right.
Like a government thing. Right. And like, sure he lives there, but it's like a perk of the job, but it's like, it's like a government building, I would think. And then when the whole train thing came, and then, like, that, the, like, location of it, you know, then moved to the depot, which, once again, I would think is, like, government property.
I don't know.
And then, like, when the telegraph office was up for sale, I would have assumed it would be, like, you know, the government or whatever is selling it. Because they don't need it anymore. Yeah, and he totally did not own it because when it was up for sale, it wasn't like Horace is selling the telegraph office. Because like when Preston was like the broker for it or whatever, like he wasn't like Horace is selling the telegraph office. It was like the telegraph office is for sale.
And wouldn't he have used it for collateral?
Would Horace use it for collateral?
I wouldn't have. I mean, when he was out, you know, maybe he had other collateral.
Would he use the telegraph office for collateral tries to buy the telegraph office?
No, when he's...
no, I'm just kidding.
The Surrey. I don't know. I just think it's all bizarre. It's kind of like, you know, in the oath, it says I can get the free building. No, I don't think that's in there. Well, somebody's got an explaining to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's like, I'm not really sure, like, why he would have seen the deed, because it's not it's in his name. And even if he did see the deed, I'm not really sure why it would, like, really mean anything to him, because you're just, like, operating the building that they gave you.
Who owns it, I wonder? I mean, just the town? It's so bizarre.
Right, like, I don't know if it would be, like, just owned at, like, the city level, or, I don't know. I mean, I guess that would be maybe a larger question for how the whole like telegraph, like the operator system,
it's very odd. How it was set up. Very strange.
And I don't know a lot about, you know, how that was all set up.
Yeah, apparently they don't either, because it's like, but here they go on.
But I'm afraid it's
Matthew has a gun, by the way. He's loaded. And,
he's packing some heat.
Yeah, he's got packing some heat. That was so funny. But yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that. I forgot that, you know, I forgot about that whole time where he was like, I'm never going to not have it now. So yeah, he's sticking to his guns.
He's sticking to his guns, yeah.
It's just a little odd. Why is that? Well, it says that the property extends 40 feet back from the street.
Your building isn't that large, is it?
No, that's right. According to this...
Yeah, Captain Obvious.
Yeah, seriously.
My land extends into Grace's cafe.
A child's feet? What about, what if they're big feet? Like my feet are size 15.
And this is...
You know, Horace probably is size 15 feet. Look at
that. Yeah. I mean, he's like kind of a big lumbering dude.
Yeah.
No time to bother Grace with something like this.
You should figure out who owns what.
Do you think there might be something like this situation in your law books?
Why don't you go look it up, Dorothy?
Yeah, like anybody can look
it up. You know how to read. You know where the library is.
In the back, there's a thing called a glossary. It's in alphabetical order.
I got some of the books in Dr. Mike's clinic.
Oh, you really think this is a good idea, Matthew? These kind of disputes can become very complicated.
Let's see, what harm can I do to get the facts straightened out?
It's kind of insulting. Like, it's kind of like, are you sure, Matthew? Because you're kind of a simpleton.
Are you sure? Because I didn't think of this myself.
Matthew, you sure you want to get so far into law? I mean, you've really not followed through with anything in your life. You know, first it was Ingrid, then it was the cattle. Really?
Then Emma left you?
Yeah, it's the hobby of the week, maybe.
You gave up being sheriff?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. And I sure like to know about them torts.
Torts! Raspberry torts. But yeah, it's just kind of strange. And Michaela's like, well, nobody's paying attention to me now. Hank doesn't, of course, want to pay anything. He's like, I'm not paying nothing.
Yeah, and then like when Horace goes to confront him about it, he's like, you'll be hearing from my lawyer. And then Hank just has his look on his face like, what?
Right, it's kind of like, get out of here. What does he call him? What's his nickname for him? Like his Lunkhead or something?
Knothead.
Yeah, Knothead. Get out of here, Knothead.
Yeah, but yeah, it's pretty funny because kind of the look on his face is like, I think what we're all thinking. Like, Hank always says what we're all thinking.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
What lawyer?
Now, back to Michaela, of course, and I kind of like Michaela's like light sweater thing that she's wearing. I mean, if I was a woman, I'd wear that.
Oh, yeah. It's stylish. And, yeah,
it's nice. But here we go.
Perhaps we can just let this go, Horace. Consider it a free visit.
Oh, no, Dr. Mike. You got to get paid. Somebody's got to teach Hank a lesson. So what do we got to do?
You're hiring Matthew as your lawyer.
Oh, wait, who's that talking? Because all of a sudden, this lunch table's pretty cozy.
Yeah. So he just is all like, that's what he does. He gets people to take up professions and charge money. And
yeah, it's bizarre.
It's what he does. He gets prostitutes to leave Hank. He's shaking things up.
But Daniel is also, grown his hair out slightly and got the beard. It's taken place of a certain...
It's the Colorado Springs way.
Oh, wait a minute. I ain't a lawyer.
Not yet.
Although it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, you've been a lawman, Matthew. Been studying the statutes. Lots of folks hang up shingles on their doors with less experience than you got.
You were sheriff for 10 weeks. Yeah, that qualifies you, right? What'd you do?
Well,
you bang
and, like,
guns?
What really... This brings up the question. Well, I guess he became interested in, like, looking stuff up about the law because of Sully and, like, trying to figure that out and everything.
Which is great. I mean, I think it's
a
way to start. You got to start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah, right. So, like, that's what he's doing. But then it's like he's so into looking this stuff up that he's just known to be, like, reading about this stuff. It's really weird to me, like, and kind of interesting. But I guess that's just – he doesn't have a lot going on, I guess. So he's made it known. I mean, because Dorothy knew that he had these law books that he was reading and, like – everyone in town is just going to him for, like, legal advice. So it's, like, clearly, it's, like, a known fact that he's just, like, sitting around reading these law books.
Now, what did Matthew, and this is the second time I'm bringing this up, but Matthew never, ever returns to the house that he was building for Ingrid.
Yeah, where does that even go? Okay, so then when the Cheyenne, like, the dog soldiers burned down his homestead.
Yeah.
where does he live after that? I'm trying to remember. Does he just go stay at the house?
Yeah, like... isn't he staying? I'm pretty sure he's staying.
Well, because, like, right, because we see him in this episode, like, he's always kind of around the house, and they're, like, eating dinner and, like, drinking coffee after dinner and, like, talking and stuff. But, like, he's just staying there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long is that going on? Because we never hear about him, like, rebuilding or, like, what happened to the house that he was building.
You just remember he ran out of money, or, you know, he was running out of money.
Right.
And that was the whole
very bizarre
intro to Preston. But here's the rest of this. This is all very cozy.
I know, but I don't have enough experience to ask people to trust me.
Couldn't you just give me some advice, Matthew?
All right. Well, I tell you, the first thing you ought to do is wire up the circuit court judge to hear the case.
That sounds good. I'll do it like you.
Hank ain't gonna like this.
Oh, Horace is angry, I suppose. And he has every right to be. Before what I've seen lately, Hank's angry, too.
Hank was born mad.
Oh, perhaps. The business hasn't been quite what he and Jake have been counting on. And with the Indian bombing and the temperance ladies smashing up the bar, they've had some unexpected expenses. That's why Jake's in Denver and St. Louis looking for potential investors.
You ain't making excuses for Hank, are you?
No, of course not. And to be honest, with all the tragedy lately... there have been times when even I've wished that I could find somebody to blame it on. Easier than the truth.
What is the truth?
That life can be very, very difficult. And quite often, it's no one's fault.
I've always really liked that line of hers.
I like this little scene, too. I didn't really pay attention to it too closely until I saw in your notes the played through. And then watching it, I thought... the including Grace in the background was really, really kind of intense as well.
Yeah, because we have, I kind of think that conversation that they have is really, you know, kind of, I like the conversation and I like her line and her delivery. And I think that she really kind of nails it. It just has like a nice feel to it.
Yeah, I think so too.
And then we kind of like see in the background that Grace is listening to them. And of course that she's dealing with Anthony's death and everything. And we see that, you know, she has like the tear coming down her cheek. And then she is at a point now where she is just like straight up keeping a bottle of whiskey, like in her apron.
She's not even hiding it though. She's just taking swigs whenever she wants to take a swig.
And, we know that she had started like right after Anthony died and she had the, she would get like that tonic or whatever, alcohol, but yeah. And she would just, like, have this tonic for sleeping, but then she was, like, abusing the tonic and just using it, like, all the time. And now she's, like, not even... yeah, it's, like, she's not hiding it, and it's, like, it's not even, like, the, like, facade of, like, the tonic or whatever. She's just, like, I have a bottle of whiskey in my apron.
Let me ask you, does your Aldi sell tonic? it's really high quality. Oh, man.
That would be funny.
Tonic.
You just slap tonic on it and you can sell it.
Dr. Mike's tonic. Yeah. But so Preston returns the sodas. I mean, we kind of saw this coming a little bit, but Preston kind of comes in and here's his excuse. And we saw it coming and I love it. Preston is kind of growing into a top three character to me. Slowly.
Yeah. I told you that you would love him.
Yeah, I didn't like him at first at all. Like most people, probably.
You just thought he was a snake.
Yeah. And I don't call people snakes very easily.
Lauren, I'm afraid I have to return these bottles to you.
What do you mean return?
Your money back guarantee. Pardon me, double money back guarantee. I'm afraid my guests didn't find it the best drink they've ever tasted.
Well, they certainly drank them. They must have liked them all right.
They did like them, but they all agreed it wasn't the best drink they've ever tasted.
That's a real slippery slope.
Yeah, right.
You know, you gotta learn.
It's highway robbery. You can't drink a whole case and come in here and ask for your money back.
That is stated where in your advertising?
It's common sense.
Common sense dictates that an honest businessman such as you live up to his promises. If he expects to keep his customers happy.
Full house, Lauren. Everyone's watching. So Lauren pays it because, you know, mm-hmm. Lauren's a pretty fair guy, I think, you know, when he's up against the ropes.
Yeah, but he's not happy about it.
So 12 bottles, 2 bits, 24 bits, which you said is like...
Right, so 2 bits is a quarter, so...
It's like $71 or something. No.
Yeah.
It's like $3, right?
It's like $500.
It's like $500 million. How many? What's the conversion rate to Dogecoin? Like, can I pay you? It'd be kind of funny if he has to pay him in those, the things that Matthew got when he worked in the mine.
Script?
Yeah, the script. Script! That's what it should have been.
Yeah, or like double your money back, but then like there's a little asterisk that's like in store credit or
script. But all right, so back to Dorothy, our favorite, our number one character. I mean, your favorite character.
My favorite, yeah. Yes. She's a little irritating this episode. But yeah, I say that a lot about her, but she really has some moments in here where I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I really don't like her in this episode, but I also don't like her dress at all in this scene.
Grace, I just found this behind some shelves. It says that the telegraph office property extends out from the building and into your cafe. But it says the land goes 40 feet back from the street. Well, the building's 27 feet, and that leaves 13 feet.
So what do you think Dorothy's endgame is here? I don't really understand what she wants.
So this is one of the things that irritates me, which as a side note, I also don't like her dress, although her little cape is kind of nice.
Yeah, the cape is fine, but the dress I don't like.
I don't like the dress either. It's like very like grandmotherly. It's weird.
Yeah, but, something Mary Ingalls would wear.
Grace's hair I really like styled this way, and yeah. I like her little sweater thing. Mm. It looks very, like, it's like a little brown, like, kind of fuzzy.
Where
anyway.
I'm paused, I don't have a good view of her, but I'm sure when I play the rest of the clip, I'll see.
One of the reasons why Dorothy is irritating me is that she so she hasn't even had the telegraph office for that long, right? That she's been, like, kind of in business with Preston. Yeah,
she's a newcomer.
And, like, you know, running it out of there, and she's all, like, well, I want to expand the Gazette, so I need more room. But I'm like, where did that come from? Because I remember your big thing was that you're getting your own building, and you, like, legitimately have a building for the Gazette, which is a pretty big thing. And I'm like, what exactly are you, like, expanding? Like, where are you going to draw the line, and how would, like, a few extra feet of land outside of the building help you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to, like, take out a wall and, like, add to the building? Like, is that what she wants to do? You're going to go through all that work to get a few extra feet?
Yeah.
And what's that going to do for, like, your paper in this town? I don't know. I'm just not really sure that...
Yeah, like, what does expansion mean to Dorothy?
Yeah, and I'm like, you really actually think that... Like, your paper is making not enough money for you to be, like, adding on to the building?
81 cents a month.
And what are you going to do? I don't know, man. And she just seems really, like, greedy. Like, she just is really, like, no, I'm just going to, like, grow the paper and, like, it doesn't matter, like.
Now, devil's advocate. If I owned a building and the property was, you know, I looked at it and it was an additional X amount of feet, I think that I would want to be compensated for the property if it was mm-hmm. in a commercial type of setting. I think with my house and everything, I would probably be a lot more lenient. But when it comes to, you know, stuff like, you know, a city and the zoning and all that kind of stuff, every like square foot is kind of is priced. And that's not how Colorado Springs was.
Right. So,
you know, it's like the road. Where does the road begin and end? Like, because there's a lot of horse crap everywhere. You know, it's like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how the zoning would work and all that kind of stuff. But I do think that she should know where her property starts and ends. But I don't know whether she's looking to be bought out or to just expand.
Well, because she keeps saying, like, if I'm going to expand, and then even, like, when Dr. Quinn is like, can't you compromise? And she's like, 6 or 7 feet's not going to do me any good. Like, she does, like, wants this room, but I'm like, what are you going to do with 13 feet? And, like, what are your plans for that? Do you even make enough money to do that? And the other thing that's really irritating is that she had literally no idea that this even was, like, a possibility.
Yeah,
and she
right?
hears about it, and she's like, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine! But it's like... It's like what she's like. But before she even, like, had ever, you know, come across the deed, we know when Brian came across the deed, it wouldn't have even been, like, on her mind to even think that she could, like, expand physically like that. And suddenly she's just like, well, I need to do this. I need this room.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, just found out 5 minutes ago.
The town should get together and kill her.
The mob. We need to get the mob on it.
Yeah, exactly. Call, you know, bring in the, bring in those Jews. They know somebody, probably. Yeah. But she goes on and on saying, we want to work it out, work it out. I don't know what that means exactly.
We can't work it out.
But Grace does not accept this. Grace is like, I'm really drunk right now.
Also, it's kind of the perfect storm with her because, yeah, like, yeah, she's drinking and she's grieving, so she's not, like, in a good mind space. But also, like, the way Dorothy is, like, pushing her, I would kind of be like, dude, step off.
Right, it's kind of like...
yeah, like, I would kind of act that way, too.
Like, is that your only copy? It's a grip. Like, so she goes on.
You saying I'm stealing your land and not telling you?
Oh, Grace, of course not. I didn't mean that. I just want to get it straightened out.
You want to get it straightened out?
She should, like, punch her. It would have been a good time to take a pie and, like, shove it in her face or something.
Yeah, get a little, like, physical comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that Dorothy is really out of line here. The way she's going about it is really out of line.
Yeah.
Even
her
bringing,
approach is just really irksome. And she's acting really, like, entitled.
And they even bring in Robert E. To kind of cover some of this.
Robert E., real estate expert.
Exactly.
Tell her our deed comes first.
Grace, Dorothy's our friend. You know you ain't mad at her.
Tell her.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, you make an excellent point in the notes. Like, you're allowed to be mad at your friends.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, like, who said, like, she couldn't be mad at a friend? Like,
who
just
said
because...
they're friends?
Yeah.
What has Dorothy ever done for Grace?
Yeah, well, I mean, are they really even that close? Because,
no.
Like, we see kind of, like, there's sort of, I guess, sort of, like, a little group that forms with, like, you know, Dr. Quinn,
yeah.
Myra when she was still there, and, like, Grace and Dorothy... but
Kelly,
as far as, like, personally, Grace and Dorothy, like, we see them in group settings.
Kelly,
you
didn't
know?
Like, they're best friends.
Yeah, they're best friends. It's like we see them in group settings, but, like, one-on-one, are they really, like, friends?
No, not at all. No. Robert E.'s like, the white lady's right.
Well, when I bought the land from old man Granger... It included the whole corral, and there was a corral.
Who's old man?
The cafe is now.
I want to know that story.
Yeah, we need, you know, if Beth is listening, or maybe Tess is listening these days, can we get a prequel maybe going?
Yeah.
With the Dr. Quinn universe.
With old man Granger.
Now, that is a fan fiction that we could, like, really kind of expand.
Yeah.
Old man Granger. He owned Granger's Saloon and Whorehouse. I don't know.
He's like a town founder, like in the style of Lars Hansen or something.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. He's got a little accent. Yeah, it'd be
pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you can put this piece of paper back where you found it. Grace,
up your butt!
That's actually like a funny thing to say. Like, so just slide behind the bookshelf.
I don't know. She's really keeping herself focused, right? Like, she's, like, got her inner zen going on, Grace. I mean, she should have just kind of mushed it right in her face or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I actually think she is being, like, a little cold, I guess. But considering that she's, like, drinking and, like, you know, depressed and stuff like that. I actually think she holds it together pretty well.
No, I do too.
And
she's
Dorothy's approach, like, she deserves this. Like, I don't think I would hold it together that well.
Me either. But
if Dorothy were, like, talking to me like this.
I think Grace feels insulted, embarrassed, and also just kind of, like, drunk.
Yeah.
Like, not in the mood for this. Not. And, you know, when did Anthony die on the timeline? Did he just die?
I have to look up the episode. It was the 6th season.
So, I mean, we're within the, like, a 3 to 4 episode, you know, window, right?
I'm looking it up right now, but
I mean,
it's this season, it must be. I just don't remember, like, off the top of my head.
Well, as you look it up, I'm going to play, they're trying to decide who is going to judge this huge, all of these huge cases.
This is stupid. Who are you going to appoint judge? Does it have
this
to be one of us?
Stupid.
Yeah, it just blows smoke at the whole table.
It was season 6, episode 6.
All right,
and this is episode 10. So it was just like a few episodes ago.
So let's say it was within the past couple months, you know, if time flies. Still, it's just too soon to really bring up this kind of business. It can wait.
Right.
Well, it doesn't seem to.
You remember when the judge appointed Kid Cole to be his proxy?
But how about Daniel?
Daniel? That's right. I picked the one person in town who's got it in for me.
The one person?
Exactly. I love Hank, but he's not the most friendly. He's not the most beloved person. The one person.
What about Lauren?
Trust him, don't you?
Oh, no, you don't. Leave me out of it. How about you?
No, just leave me out of it.
Why not Lauren, by the way? Like, they accepted him like, leave me out of it. That's not good enough.
True.
You're like the town elder here.
Yeah.
Friends. Well, we're all friends, Hank.
Just trying to get out of this.
You're all friends? Really, Michaela? You think you're friends with Hank?
Exactly.
You consider him your friend?
Has Hank ever eaten at Michaela's house once, right? Wasn't there one time?
I don't think he, like, eats there ever, but he does when she's thinking about giving up her practice after she has the baby. He does, like, ride out to the house to thank her for helping him with his, like, allergies or hay fever or whatever.
That might be what I'm thinking.
And then he's all like, oh, we're gonna miss you in town. You know, like that kind of thing.
So
it was like a nice, like, scene with him, you know? But,
brought you a bottle of the good stuff.
Yeah.
I hate when the chattering goes on with this.
Gentlemen, we're not going to get anywhere yelling at each other.
Seems like you don't want people to listen to Dr. Mac.
That's right. Let her do it.
It's all right by me.
A lady judge? That's what I'm waiting for. I'm surprised nobody said it.
Well, when they're like, it seems like you're the only one that people listen to. She's like, I've been successful. My work here is done.
Exactly. It's like she pulls out a paper and it says bucket list and she just checks it off. Done.
Oh, wait a
minute.
She's
getting neutral. She's getting paid.
That's right.
No, it don't matter. You're going to get paid by one of us, one way or the other. $1.50.
As I said before, Horace, this was a very simple procedure. Why don't we just let it go?
No, Dr. Mike. We got to do this legal. So what do you say, Hank? You know, Dr. Mike would be fair.
And he's smoking one of his, like, little cigarillos.
Yeah, one of his little, like, rolled ones.
It looks like a cigarillo or something like that.
Yeah.
Hank makes me wish I smoked.
Just so you could be as cool as he is.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think I could pull it off. I miss when smoking was civilized and cool. What was it, 1940s or something?
Fine. Just settled. Dr. Mike will judge you and award any damages.
I like how they disappoint her and she's just like, I don't want to do it. You're right.
Yeah, they're just like, all right, we're doing this.
I wish they kind of had a thing where she's like, no. And it's like they just get up and ignore her.
Yeah.
So Lauren is thinking of a million ways to get back at...
He's heard about damages.
At Preston. He's like, damages. And goes to the hot springs. And I think it's just funny. We get The more that I watch Lauren closely, the more that he looks like your dog, Harriet. Really, right? There are so many times where I'm paused and it's like he's making kind of these scrunchy faces.
Yeah, he does a scrunchy face and you have this hilarious screenshot when he's like accidentally on purpose falling in there.
It took like 30 times to get that.
Yeah, because we have like we have hard floors, and most of our rooms have hard floors. Mm-hmm. And Harriet is always like sliding all over the place.
I love that.
She's like very like she. I think that her and Lauren are like kindred spirits.
Does she do the back pedal thing when she's running and she's trying to stop but just keeps sliding?
I haven't really seen her do that because she doesn't really like.
She's not allowed to run
around the house that much.
Yeah, she's not allowed.
But she, yeah, she's just always, like, sliding all over the place. Like, she'll just be, like, walking, and she'll be like, like, she's, like, on like, ice skates or something.
Yeah. Well, my dogs always sound like the tap dancing dogs. Like,
tick, yeah, tick, tick, yeah, tick, we get that, too. They're like, tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, but it's, like, so this is, like, you know, a very visual scene, but, like, Lauren is just all, like, falling purposely in. And I have to say that the way he falls and he, like, goes backwards into it... And I'm like, he is so lucky he didn't just smash his head open.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I kept thinking, like, all right, of course it's a film scene and everything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if he had just kind of pushed off with his foot, he easily could have clocked his head.
I mean, yeah, totally, totally. It's like, you seem like way too close for comfort there. You could have just killed yourself.
And I really think it's him falling in there. You know, so that's, I don't know, that's like a big deal for an actor to do, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Do not stunts.
Like, it's like, so it's like uncomfortable for me to watch it, because I'm just like, I mean, I know that it turns out okay, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're like cutting it way too close.
Screw you, Joe Lando, I do my own stunts too.
And then like, Andrew examines Lauren.
Yeah.
Lauren like doesn't have anything wrong with him, of course. I really like when Preston has that like line when he was he called it like the negligent wet deck, like it was too wet. What do you mean too wet? It's a spa.
Exactly. It's just so funny.
But
so now we're back at the homestead and Matt's kinda like reading through these books. Appears to be two books. I don't even know how many, really.
I think he has two books. Yeah, kind of like open on top of each other.
Right. It's like, wait a minute, this is French law. It's like, wait, this is Canadian law.
It's like French maritime law or something.
Right.
It's like, none of this applies.
It's like converted into English. What? I'm tricked. I've been tricked. Maritime law. Well, that's all applicable if we were 9 miles out in the ocean. But I can certainly help if we're on a boat. Oh, Matt.
So all we have to do is travel to the coast.
We just have to travel 9 miles out into international waters and we're good. Now, where's the closest?
And if anybody wants to get married out there, can do that.
It's like, all right, where's the closest ocean? We're in Colorado. It's only about 1,500 miles away. Jeez.
Court is something that you handle in a civil case, not a criminal case.
Katie's gotten pretty big, by the way.
Her hair is getting really fluffy, too.
Her dress looks like it's on backwards at the view of that, man. I'm at 1440?
Yeah.
Did you just go to that? It's like buttoned up in the back, but the way the collar is, it looks like she's going to turn her head and it's going to be like The Exorcist.
Okay. Oh my gosh, yeah. That's
What's with that? That's so weird.
That's so funny.
Can anything be a tort?
Just about. Battery, negligence, libel.
Can what Hank Dutars be interpreted as battery?
Well, it's got to be intentional to be battery. More probably, it was negligent.
Is it a little negligent to make hot coffee and everything and hold the baby like that? Because that kid can easily just go and crawl around or walk.
What happened to her little, like...
Papoose.
Yeah.
Wolf ripped it when he was laying in it.
Is Wolf so he was actually carrying Wolf around in it.
No Wolf in this episode, right?
Mm, I don't think we see him. Where is he? Wait, is he like staying in the cave or whatever with Sully?
Yeah, he's guarding it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he's out there, I guess.
Hank was moving fast, not watching where he was going.
Hank says that Horace walked right into his fist, that Horace should have been looking where he was going.
The word Sully does not exist in this episode, by the way.
She does mention him.
Does she? Where? No, she
doesn't. Later on, when she's, like, asking him for advice on how she should, like, asking Matthew for advice on how she should judge the cases. And then he's, like, giving her examples and stuff. And then she's like, oh, this is all so petty compared to the legal troubles that Sully's facing.
Man, they really threw that in last minute, huh?
Yeah.
We gotta mention him.
Yeah.
Negligence doesn't have to be on purpose.
It's all so petty compared to the legal
problems.
Oh, wait,
problems. It's right here. It's the line right here, the one I just said.
Yeah, here we go.
Sully's facing.
Wait, we have to go back. You're right. It's like a magic
moment. I was thinking it was their second scene when he was like instructing her, but it's this one.
It's like a little magic moment all of a sudden.
I should have been looking where he was going.
Negligence doesn't have to be on purpose.
It's all so petty compared to the legal problems Sully's facing.
Music. They should have had Katie go, Papa.
Yeah. There's like there's some fun music in this episode.
Katie should have a little tiny wolf.
Oh.
Yeah, like a little puppy. A little, well, not, maybe even a little pup. Too soon.
Yeah, like Sully is out hiding in the cave, and then Wolf's like, is this a bad time to tell you I became a father?
It's like, you know, all those Cuban cigars, you know, it's like that, those are all in like Wolf's wearing the papoos, actually. And in there is all the cigars, and he just chews them at night.
Yeah, well, King. It's King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a spittoon. So we're at the church. Apparently we don't have a reverend either. There's no Jake.
Right. He's not in here at all.
No
he?
Reverend, no Jake.
So like they explain that Jake is away in Denver, trying to get investors.
I said maybe he's
we
reading
don't have an
camp.
Explanation for the reverend though.
Maybe he's at God camp or something. He's on like a retreat with that last guy,
Fred his Rogers. Like mentor.
Yeah, Fred Rogers.
Now his name is escaping me.
Well, his name is Johnson. His was something simple like that, like Thompson or something.
Thomas, Reverend Thomas.
Maybe.
Was that it?
Reverend something, Thomas.
Yeah. But maybe like, yeah, maybe he's at like a conference or.
Now,
yeah,
are you
like a pastor conference?
In this next scene, are you as surprised as I was to not see Michaela in full robes? Like, maybe the
well,
KKK robes?
The vest that I'm not sure I've seen before. This, like, purple vest.
But she could have, like, dyed the KKK
I'm
robes.
I'm actually just really surprised that she's not wearing, like, the powdered wig thing.
Oh, that'd be so. You know, it would be classy, actually. It'd be nice. And have like guards and everything, and her bodyguards. And
I have to admit, I was quite surprised when I read the case law on this subject. There seems to be no question that Hank was negligent.
Okay, no question, because you read like one case.
Right. And Hank's just smiling when she says that.
Yeah.
About to revise statutes, and so that means he is responsible for Horace's medical expenses.
He just throws down the money.
Regular Hank fashion. And we have some good regulars in the audience, too.
Yeah, you got
the
screenshot.
That we see all the time, yeah.
Yeah, what's, who's she playing in this one?
I love your
theory that each character...
They're like different people every time.
Right. In this episode, she's an old lady who kind of has a crush on Lauren, and she's so happy that he finally sat next to her.
Yeah, yeah. So he comes in and sits down, and she's like, ooh.
Yeah. I'll run.
Yeah, and then behind her, that's actually her nephew with that wicked stash.
Yeah, but he doesn't speak any English, actually. He's learning.
If there's no further business...
I have business.
What happened to you, Laura?
I slipped and fell on the negligent wet deck over at the chateau. That's what happened to me.
Okay, so I have to say that...
It's quite a sentence.
Negligent wet deck would be, like, a great band name.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Negligent wet deck! Live!
I got expenses, too.
This is absurd.
Madam, would you make room for a cripple?
I already paid for his fees with Andrew.
Well, then, you see? He admits he's at fault.
Oh, I certainly do not.
I got damages, too. Lots of... How am I supposed to be able to work like this? Can't even reach the top shelves. I'm gonna have to hire a stock boy. How am I gonna pay him? I tell you... All the joy has gone out of my life. It even hurts when I have to open the cash box.
You see Matthew go by and say, yeah, I have some free time. Not now, Matthew.
Yeah, like, I'm looking for a job. I'll be the stock boy.
And Brian.
Faking. Well, we'll let Dr. Mike decide that. She's the judge. Ain't you?
Ain't you?
It would have been really interesting if she just, like, stays the town judge after that.
Like just over and over again. The Honorable Michaela Quinn.
All rise.
All of a sudden there's like town hangings and all types of things.
We did have that hanging in season 4.
Well, it's like
but she was not the judge.
The episode is entitled The Hanging of Horace. Well, you went against your oath. And that's punishable by death.
And per the oath, you must die.
Yeah, it'd be pretty. It gets dark there. So here's a scene with Preston and Andrew. And I'm just going to play it. Let it speak for itself.
Because it has like, I love the music they play. Like mm-hmm. when they play this music, you know that
it gets like lighthearted. Yeah, it gets it's fun music. They're examining the plank of wood where he's
the slept. Negligent wet deck.
Yeah, so let me go bring a doctor in to examine it.
You examine Lauren. He's faking, isn't he? Well, it's difficult to say. He says his back is in great pain. But I have to rely upon his description of his symptoms.
And according to him, he's just this side of the pearly gates.
All I have to do is to prove that he's faking.
See all those ferns? Holy cow. Jeez. The chateau is crazy with ferns.
Yeah, they love their ferns.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting this because I probably have the greatest screenshot that I've ever seen in my entire life, and it was worth it for those 6 seconds.
That shouldn't be too difficult.
Lauren, someone just broke into your store.
Oh, well, you better call the sheriff. I mean, you know, there's not a lot I can do in my condition.
Fail.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's you know, it's just one of those kind of things where we've seen a lot of comedies where they drop the book and the person turns their head and it's like, see? Mm-hmm. Being that I'm on this computer, all of my screenshots are all delayed, so I have to apologize for that. It's very embarrassing. But I just posted the screenshot, and hopefully it translates over. But yeah, he has another face that's very similar to Harriet. So
I like it.
It's like, meh.
Yeah, everybody wants to do the Harriet. Everybody do the Harriet.
We do get to see another woman in the mercantile, right? You pointed her out. I didn't notice her at first, but she looks like a walk-on, like somebody... I don't know. Do they have people who are just kind of touring the facility and they would just kind of give them a dress?
Wait, what lady in the mercantile?
Wait, isn't that in the mercantile? In 1950.
Oh, no, that's at the saloon.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're right. They're pouring a shot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we've never seen this woman. Actually, it almost looks like Emma in the background. If you go to 1950 exactly, is that Emma?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh, by the way, that was just back up slightly, because I think you skipped over the Hank having his thing about rights, which I think is really good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, you better be. I quit.
See, these are the kind of, this is why we have unions.
Dorothy, see what you've done? Customers are checking out of my hotel. You are ruining my business.
Why? Why are they doing that?
Because of your lies. They're afraid of me.
All I did was report the truth, that you hit Horace and that you had to pay damages for it.
Now, did he read the paper? I mean, he's talking about reading now.
He, earlier in this season, so like a few episodes ago, the like Lead Me Not, is it called Lead Me Not? When Marjorie comes with the temperance ladies.
Yes.
And that's when Jake goes on like that big bender and like starts firing guns and stuff.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Because he thinks that Hank and and Mrs. Morales are like an item, but Mrs. Morales is just teaching him how to read.
That went over my head. Wow.
Yeah. So he has just like recently been learning to read. But in this episode, he seems to be able to read because he can like read the paper. And later on, he is asking Matthew for like law books and stuff. And I'm like, man, he got advanced fast because he like just learned how to read.
They sure do. Yeah. They're very accelerated in this town.
Yeah.
Maybe it's all the high mercury in the water or something.
Yeah.
I didn't hit him. His face connected with my fist. Even Michaela didn't say I hit him. Ain't that right?
Well, not exactly, but
it's a lie. And I'm going to sue you for it.
Hank.
You can't do...
Hank. Calm down.
That?
Yes, I can. I got the idea from your own paper.
What?
Remember that story you wrote about that mine owner? Sued the Denver paper for slandering him? Won $2,000? Well, that's what you've been. False and malicious. And you're going to have to pay up. Ain't you, Michaela?
Well, I have no idea, but...
Well, you better get an idea, because you got to judge it.
I just love his delivery of, like, that whole tirade.
Well, he's very well-read all of a sudden, right? He's all together. Yeah. This is a different Hank.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting, but his, the way he sounds and the way he delivers the lines, I really like it.
But I don't appreciate you calling me out for skipping. I don't like it that you yelled at me on the episode. You're bullying me.
I'm sorry. I won't stand for it. On about these things. I don't mean to keep harping on about these things. But...
Oh, harp. So yeah, all right. So in the saloon, we do get that woman, but it's not really a playable type of clip. But it's a lot of I don't know who that woman is. There's a couple.
She's one of the saloon girls, I guess.
But so people got tours. I was saying before, when people would get tours, are there times where people who are fans of the show would just get walk-on parts? Because you wouldn't need to be in SAG in order to just be in the background.
Be on the show.
Yeah, unless you have dialogue, you don't need to be in SAG.
Hmm, interesting. I don't know.
Me either.
Extra grind, all right? I'm telling you the truth.
I didn't know if she's like in our group or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
That would be.
If you go forward with this case...
Oh, I'm playing it. I'm sorry. So, I didn't mean to play it.
You will lose. He just, like, tries to talk Hank out of...
Hank.
Pursuing the whole, like, suing thing.
Yeah, it's weird. They're constantly trying to talk people out of this thing. It's like, you've created a bunch of monsters. Everybody's suing each other.
Yeah, well, and he's, like, the one who started it, I mean, by mentioning to Horace that Hank should pay, and, yeah.
I think Horace got the short end of the stick by getting punched in the face, but in this particular scene, I think he deserves what he's getting.
Oh, he so asks for it.
Found Hank Lawson negligent and instructed him to pay. Hey, Hank. See the Gazette?
Hey, Hank. That's his, like, That's like his bar column, like where he posts like, you know, recipes for different drinks. Hey, Hank. You know Hank's in a bad mood when he has a black ascot on. He's mad.
You look kind of mad, Hank. What are you going to do?
Don't tell my black ascot.
Hit me?
And that was worth $1.50.
I love that.
Yeah, Hank always has the best like one lines. Like,
yeah, but Horace totally. I mean, you do not egg on a guy like Hank.
No, I mean, you're lucky this totally is the first time he punched you. You know, it's like the guy just probably punches people on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, he punched three men before breakfast.
Exactly. But Horace is—he's all angry now, and Dr. Quinn wraps Horace's nose again. Curious if
and he's all like, oh, "I'm gonna make him pay."
So he's at another $1.50. Not sure. So here we go. Preston wants Michaela to examine Lauren.
Horace. Michaela, you need to examine Lauren.
He's hurt again?
He wasn't hurt in the first place. That's why you need to examine him to prove that he's lying.
Preston, if I'm to judge this case, I can't examine him personally.
Why ever not? I think that's exactly what you'd
want
to do.
Why ever?
Wouldn't Andrew's examination be just as good, if not better, because, it, you know, she's the judge?
Mm-hmm.
Even have Andrew be the judge, maybe. No, he works for this. I don't know.
I need to remain neutral and go with Andrew's testimony.
Even though it's, you know, elementary.
Yeah.
That's what she wants to say.
Or is it that you just don't want to take sides?
How can you say that? I mean, that's exactly what I'm being forced to do as a judge.
Of course. I just hope you can remain truly neutral, Michaela.
I mean, like, so what's he getting at with that line? Is it like that he thinks that she just has it in for him still because of that like whole father loan thing? And that he'll like, I mean, because really what's in it for her, right?
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't really get that
really
line either.
She really is not personally invested. So no matter who wins or loses, she really, she's not invested at all, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, I wonder.
And
if
it's not like she's like, yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, does he just think that she's going to favor Lauren because she knows him better and, you know, she doesn't like Preston because his father didn't give her father a loan?
Yeah, really. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't get anything out of one way or the other.
Right, right.
And yeah, so what do? You run over to Brian. I'm just going to play this. I think it's kind of funny. But Brian does seem like to be grown up a little bit more. He's putting a few inches on.
Hey, Siraj.
How would you like to earn a little extra spending money?
Doing what?
Well, I'll tell you.
I didn't know what that was going to be when I first saw it. I was like, it's like, try to get information about your mom or something.
Yeah.
I need to go into the store and yell fire. I can't believe it. Me neither. He offered me 50 cents to do it.
Well, you did the right thing turning him down, Brian.
Look, I can't believe it. I think in Matthew's law books, there's a thing about yelling arson.
Well, we could have used that money, though. with Sully being away and all. All right, so Michaela tries to get in between Lauren and Preston to try to just kind of clear the air and try to smooth things up.
No problem. If he agrees to withdraw his suit.
No problem. If he can give me back the use of my body. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm always going to be afraid of water the rest of my life.
I love that.
Yeah, that's very funny.
Well, think how that's going to affect my business.
I'm trying to.
Well, my customers ain't going to like it if I can't take a bath.
This is not far enough. Preston, you attempting to bribe Brian to do your dirty work.
Shocking. Poor child.
I love Lauren when he acts like this.
And you know better, Lauren. Brian told me that you said that you were going to get back at Preston for taking advantage of your money-back guarantee.
Oh, you little Benedict Arnold.
That's his Harriet face.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Lauren, would you drop your suit? If Preston agrees to give you back the money you gave him for returning the bottles.
I would not.
I have no intention of paying back money that was legitimately due me. There's someone I'd like...
due me. So...
that was legitimately... due me.
Let's hear it again.
If Preston agrees to give you back the money you gave him for returning the bottles.
I would not.
I have no intention of paying back money that was...
Ready?
...was legitimately due me.
We have to clip it, maybe. And then he has a big smile.
Legitimately do me.
But so what is, if we're to believe that it's two bits, right? So it's a few dollars. I mean, why wouldn't he just pay and make it go away?
So what was it? It was a case. Was it 12 in the case?
Right, it was 12, so you got 24 back. 24 bits.
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, so it'd be like $3.
Yeah, so pay the three. Yeah. I mean, if he would just return the $3, I would imagine having an attorney on retainer, spoiler alert, would be more than $3.
Oh, right. Oh, but he's not worried about it because normally his fees are paid.
Yeah, that's true.
There's someone I'd like both of you to meet. Mr. Copley.
Mr. Doomy.
Mr. Jimmy, this guy seems so, like, I don't know, he just rubs me the wrong way.
He reminds me of, who's the guy who played, of Val Kilmer? I don't know why he reminds me of Val Kilmer.
Oh, okay, because he reminds me of, I'm going to butcher his name, but was it, like, Carrie, starts with an
Underwood?
No. No, like, he was in Princess Bride and Glory and stuff. Carrie, is it like, his last name starts with an E.
I know who you're talking about. We'll find it while the clip is playing.
Benjamin Copley, Esquire, attorney.
At your service. Mr. Copley has a very successful practice in Denver and has agreed to represent
me in this
case. Mr.
Copley also just started reading law books last week.
2 weeks ago, actually.
He is very experienced.
Very experienced. Can he borrow those books, Michaela? He's still reading up.
Preston, do you really think this is necessary?
It's going to cost you a fortune.
Actually, the judge normally rules my fee to be paid by the plaintiff if he loses.
Is his name Cary Elwes?
Yeah.
The main guy, the handsome fellow with the blonde guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What was he? He wasn't he in? He was in something that I saw recently. And I was like, yikes! All right. So
if Mr. Bray loses, he has to pay for Mr. Lodge's lawyer.
Apparently, that's up to me.
Well, it looks like you actually listened to conversations, Einstein. You won't know. You don't know who Einstein is yet, do you, Brian? It's 1873.
It was something I read once.
Brian has this whole outfit on. He looks like a little cowboy. He's
he is like starting to wear like all these vests and everything a lot. And like the hat is interesting. He hasn't really worn hats like this previously.
You know what we never discussed is in the Sean Tuvey interview that we had. He talks about having one of his shirts from when he was character. And you said you remember what shirt he was talking about?
Yeah.
So you have to get a screenshot of that.
I will, yeah. When we're, it's like an early season one, but okay. When we are reviewing one of those things, I will. Yeah, because when you describe it, I'm like, I know what you're talking about. I can, like, picture the shirt.
It should be in the Smithsonian.
Yeah.
But,
so, mail it to me, Sean.
Mail it to me. I don't believe you. I'll put it on my paper mache Brian that I built. I don't really have a paper mache Brian. Not yet, anyway. I'll build one day. I won't. Let's see. You do have this great screenshot of Hank in the next clip. I'm just going to play it. But his hair looks super, super healthy.
Hair.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
This doesn't make any sense.
Yes, it does. Says me and Robert E. own the land fair and square.
But if Mr. Granger had it written out legal when he sold the land to Robert E.
If you look closely on the paper, it just says, we own it fair and square. Yeah. And a smiley face.
Also, side note, this is another one of those episodes that has that coloring kind of going on that we talked about with Deal with the Devil.
Not the whole episode, though.
The whole episode, but like, so this scene particularly does, which really you'll notice it. Well, I mean, like, they all kind of have this like tints, but when Hank comes out, he's like glowing. I mean, like in a screenshot I took of him, it's just like he just like looks so like nicely colored.
It's funny you notice you mention that, because when we first see the church, when they're about to have the first sit down with Michaela, that you see the lawn and it's like this bright like Kelly green in it. It's like, yeah. Holy cow. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. All of a sudden everything is like bright and incredible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Darth. It says the whole corral.
Even Dorothy's dress looks a little bit better.
It actually does say the whole corral.
See, Dr. Maggie.
What the deed says is, it's ours, fair and square.
Look, there's even a sketch of us. There's even a sketch. I want to hear what he says again.
We own the land fair and square. But if Mr. Granger had it written out legal when he sold the land to Robert E.
I'm sorry, Dorothy. It says the whole corral.
See, Dr. Mack. It's the deed, Mr. Granger.
The whole corral.
See? It's right in the quotes. The whole corral.
Just sold to Robert E. It says he owns the land.
In quotes, he owns the land. Fair and square. It's quoted.
It's like, who's writing up this deed?
My deed says I own the land, and it's dated 10 years earlier than Robert E's.
It is?
Michaela, maybe I should read that. I have an oath.
Does it say fair and square on it?
Does it say fair and square? Well, then it's fair and square. I don't see the problem. What's the problem?
Land, it just doesn't make sense. Well, why don't you compromise? We'll split the land in question 50-50. 6 or 7 feet isn't going to do me any good.
Just want to smack her when she says that.
Right, and it's like, Dorothy's like, I don't want to punch you so badly.
Yeah.
Her right, if you look closely, her right hand is shaking. She's like, I'm going to punch you, Red.
Never heard anything so greedy in all my life. Grace, I only meant that if I'm going to go to the expense of expanding the Gazette, I need more space than that.
We need for our server room. Like, yeah, like, what is she going to do with even 17 feet?
Well, and then this is also, like, she never had even thought of having this space until she found that. And then she's like, ooh, 13 feet, I can do a lot with that.
Build the second floor, I don't know. Go up. Go down.
Yeah.
And what am I supposed to do? Chop a table in half? No. Dr. Mack, you're gonna have to decide.
I mean, on Grace's side, everybody in the town eats at her cafe. Yeah. Not everybody in town can read the paper.
Right. Or even likes her.
Yeah.
And in coming Hank, I mean, Hank just kind of comes out of nowhere and is really bright. It's like super sunny or something.
He's just very glowy.
Yeah.
I'm going to regret this.
I didn't want to use the handcuffs, but he put up a struggle.
Oh, you ain't seen a struggle.
What happened?
Well,
by the way, I don't know how tall he is. Do you know how tall William Shockley is?
I'd guess over 6 feet, probably.
I mean, he's got a solid foot over Matthew.
Also, when he's like, I'll tell you what happened. What happened? I can tell you what happened.
What?
He recently trimmed off the split ends from his hair, and it is looking good.
No, it does. It's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, all right, somebody, because earlier when we see the back, I'm like, oh yeah, look, it's all like even and nice.
Yeah, it's just like, it looks like very like healthy, you know, because like it gets a little scraggly sometimes at the ends, and you know, there's like a little frizz involved sometimes, and not that it ever like looks bad or anything.
No,
but it definitely looks
full bodied. Like,
it just looks really good. Like in this scene, it just looks great.
Well,
he's he's fresh off his trim, and then he's getting arrested, and he's mad, and I don't blame him.
The thing is that Jake gave him a hot oil treatment to while he was gone, and he's been doing it, and he's it's really working out.
Actually. Yeah.
Well, Horace made a complaint against Hank.
You know, he probably uses, like, Nexus and products like that. You know, he has to mail order all of his shampoo back in the 90s, you know.
Assault and battery. Now, those are criminal charges.
Better think long and hard before you rule on this one, Michaela.
I can't do it. As you said, these are criminal charges. You have to wire the circuit judge.
I already did that. Be here in 2 months.
I ain't sitting in jail for 2 months. An audio law says I can get a trial before I rot.
Actually, there is.
There is?
There is? It seems a little Latin. It's called the Doomy Law.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, she's just like, there is? That you mean somebody can't just throw you in prison?
When he explains habeas corpus, this is like, I want to pick on this.
Yeah.
Actually, there is.
There is?
Yeah. It's called a writ of habeas corpus. It says a man's got a right to a speedy trial.
All right, I'll do it.
Now, Matt looks like bummed out, like, I guess we can't let him rot.
Well, so my issue with this is, I think at this point he's like, man, I regret starting all this crap.
Yeah.
But my issue with this, and this goes back to what I said earlier, where she acts very, like, out of character, and that she seems just way too simplistic. I just don't believe for a second that she never would have heard of the writ of habeas corpus.
Right. She may not know what it's called. I mean, I believe she would know what it's called. But
yeah.
we all know, even back in the early days of our criminal
system. Well, I mean, like, during the Civil War, when Lincoln suspended it, it was, like, a big deal. And given that she, like, her kind of position in society... Mm-hmm. And she was a bit of an activist, right? Because
sure.
We know that she was involved in, like, the abolition movement, and she was, like, very kind of in tune with stuff like that. I just, like, do not believe for a second that she's never heard of habeas corpus. I mean...
Yeah, she knows people who write articles about everything else, comments
right.
and stuff, but she
right.
doesn't know anybody who writes
yeah.
about the law.
Yeah.
So Preston and Lauren are putting together some gifts.
I never knew you were so handy with a ribbon.
The music's actually pretty fun.
He can tie the ribbon when he's crippled.
Right. That's a terrible ribbon job, by the way. Whatever that is.
It's like looks like a spider or something.
It looks like if you go to Dave and Buster's and get like 1,000 tickets and you
yeah.
win. Like it's like one of the, I don't know if you.
<It's> kinda, yeah,
like
good.
I want a skee ball, you know, it's. Yeah.
I'd like to purchase this vase.
That'll be $5.
Fine. And I'd like to purchase some ribbon, too.
Now, $5 is more...
That's a pretty expensive vase.
Yeah. But $5 is more than what he would have had to pay him in the first place.
Yeah.
Just to make
right, so now to try to win his case, he's gotten a lawyer, and he's also spending more money on merchandise to try to bribe the judge.
I don't think you could use that as a write-off of any sort.
It's an extra buck.
Fine.
$1 like for ribbon? That just seems like, whoa.
Even nowadays, I don't want to pay $1 for ribbon. I'll go to Dollar Tree and get a year's worth.
To tie it. Or is that another dollar?
You know what? I'll give you $1 anyway.
Right. Here's a two. I do like how Preston's kind of like needling him with it. Kind of like, you're not going to stop me. I'm going to buy my way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm really playing here. So, Daniel.
So then they rush up. So Daniel was going to do a survey of the land to try to figure out like who, you know, which deed was correct. But the survey didn't really yield anything other than that both deeds had the land on it, which we already knew. And then, they rush up. They're like, here are gifts.
Yeah. But, you know,
lame gifts. And then he's all like, oh, you're going to, like, that's illegal to bribe her.
Do you think that Daniel and Michaela are a bit cozy? I mean, it's really comfortable with them once he returned.
I mean, they were, like, comfortable with each other before. It's just the thing that caused the whole rift. Well, like we talked at length about when we reviewed that episode, they were very comfortable with each other. And I think that she's, like, you know, she was always friendly and comfortable with him because it was, like, you know, Sully's alleged best friend. I was actually thinking about that, like, after we recorded, we're, like, best friend. Like, is that really his best friend still? Because they haven't really done stuff for years. I think the actual term maybe would be oldest friend.
Yeah.
It's Sully's oldest friend.
Or a good friend.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but they are pretty much, like, I think they are really comfortable with each other. They really seem to have basically just forgotten about that whole situation. So I don't feel any, like, chemistry between them at this point. Mm-hmm. But they do feel, they seem very familiar with each other, I guess.
I agree with you. I think that the chemistry was erased from the script. Like, mm-hmm. But I can't help but, you know, kind of wonder, I mean, I kind of wish there was still that chemistry within the entire ecosystem. Like, yeah. To see what
I mean, happen. You know, maybe he just doesn't give up on the girl.
He's doing, it's called the long game. He's doing the long game, that's all.
Yeah.
Michaela talks to Andrew about Lauren's injuries, but, you know, Andrew's not comfortable testifying for whatever reason. That doesn't really make total sense.
Yeah, and I kind of think that it doesn't totally make sense, but, I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, I get it because, like, well, he's employed by Preston, first of all. I guess I kind of get that. And there was the whole malpractice thing that he even brings up, you know, that Kayla went through. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I can kind of get it. But it's also, like, a little weird because it really is, like, a pretty small case, too. Like, it's not like we're talking about any, like, high-profile, you know, crime going on or anything like that. And also, it's a little bit self-righteous, I think, when she's like, all right, well, the only thing is that if everybody felt that way, nothing would get done. I'm like, I just think it's, like, really, like, blowing it out of proportion because we're talking about, like, a few bucks over some soda.
Yeah, also, it's kind of like you're a judge over kind of a small case, like a small claims case.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, we're just basically, like, who owns this $3? Like, right. It's not, yeah.
And it's like a slip and fall. Like, it's not a huge, huge thing. And, yeah, she's kind of letting it get to her head. But that's really her style, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, well, we see that Hank is learning, well, not learning, but he's reading law books. He's trying to, like, kind of catch up on things.
it's crazy. Yeah, so he asks Matthew for law books to make it a fair fight because he is now actually, oh, what a good plot twist would that be, where, like, Hank now becomes a lawyer because he read some law books.
All of a sudden he's got glasses on. And,
yeah.
Yeah, he's got, like, the whole suit on. It was like, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him, you can't handle the truth type
of thing. Not cutting the hair, though.
No way, bro.
Not even other than, like, his little split end trim.
Not even going to ponytail it.
Yeah.
It's always out. Loud and proud. So, Dorothy is at Grace's Cafe, and she has a lot of nerve even being there, in my opinion.
Yeah, give her some space. I mean,
yeah, go make your own coffee or something.
Please, could I have some more coffee?
You look, you got that first cup red. Jeez. And Lauren's just like, shh, that was painful.
Did you see that?
Well, of course I did. The fall didn't hurt my eyesight. Bunch of foolishness.
What's that?
You don't have to agree with Dorothy, but don't let this ruin your friendship.
Me who's ruining it.
It never existed.
Yeah, it's like, exactly. did everyone forget about Dorothy's book?
They're, like, not friends, but they're not, like, friends, you know?
Like, did everyone forget about Dorothy's book?
Well, that too, yeah. Well, I mean, like, So when Hank was all like mad at her for what she wrote in the paper, I'm like, this is not the first time that people have been mad.
Yeah, really.
For what she's written.
Whose side are you on?
What?
You've been defending her all week.
No, I ain't.
Why don't you marry her? Like, I'm waiting for that.
Just don't see why you're taking this so personal.
If you love me, you kill her. Right now, in front of everyone.
But it is personal. She made it personal.
Chris, you know this ain't about Dorothy.
You're always right.
Yikes, this is like a crazy, you know, it's a real tense scene.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Robert E. obviously knows that what's actually going on is not this, and it's the Anthony situation, and, you know, the drinking, and,
yeah,
you know, everything as a result of that. But I kind of, I don't know. I think, so, like, Robert E. obviously is aware of that, but I also think that, I don't know. He kind of seems like maybe he could also be irritated by Dorothy. I mean, I would be with the way that she's acting. I don't know. I kind of get where Grace is coming from here.
Oh, completely.
Like, with the way that Dorothy's acting and the way that, like, Robert E. is acting like Grace is being irrational. I mean, I kind of get it.
Yeah, but I don't
kind of be like, dude, what's your problem?
I don't like the whole advice of, like, don't let her ruin your friendship. It's like, well, you know, she initiated this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, so there's, like, some weird stuff where it's like, so what, you can't be mad at a friend? Oh, no, you can.
Right, right.
And, like, don't let this ruin your friendship. It's like, so what, to keep friends, you're supposed to just do what they want all the time? I mean, and
it's even further than that, because it's like, okay, well, what she's going to do is take away my livelihood, our livelihood, yeah. You know, when it comes to, you know, Robert E. and her, and
yeah, well, and I mean, the entire town eats there 3 meals a day. Well, how are they gonna all eat if there's not a table?
Right, it's gonna be
I'm kind of kidding about that, but they all do. The town loves the cafe, as we've seen.
Standing room only. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like those tall thing, like, you know.
Yeah.
Those tall tables. It's like, geez. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't. That's why I'm saying I don't know what Dorothy's end game is here. Like, do you want her to buy you out? Because you're probably over at Grace's more often than people are over at your place. Like, everybody uses Grace.
She should have banned Dorothy from the cafe.
I would have loved to see this scene. It's kind of like, nope, we're closed. We're out of food. Out of everything. I would have liked to see that. But so Grace goes up to Judge Quinn.
Grace, you got to choose.
Michaela Quinn, Esquire.
Yes. The honorary.
I can't go on like this, not knowing. I don't have all the information I need yet, Grace. What more do you need?
I'm still waiting for my wig to come in the mail.
I'm surprised she didn't call Daniel to arrest her for, like, you know, you can't just approach me like this, Grace.
This is disrespectful.
Yes, this is
disorderly conduct.
Yes. Arrest this woman.
She's trying to cheat us out of our land.
Dr. Maxine herself.
Quit making excuses. Quit.
Quit what?
Grace is a little bit crazy here, I thought. She's getting the crazy eyes, and she's like, oh.
She just had, like, 5 shots.
Yeah, and it's not even the good stuff. It's like that rot gut.
Yeah.
Quit what?
Trying to make everything all right. It ain't all right. It will never be all right.
So what's missing there is her taking the bottle of whiskey out of her apron and drinking it.
Or at least it falling out of her.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Give me that. And then, like, you know, it fades out and then it fades back in. It's Michaela and her taking shots.
Shot, 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 shot.
It's like, what we're going to do is we're going to kill Dorothy. I'll hold her down and give her some morphine. That'll be the end of her. She'll love it. Then Tom will kind of, like, peek behind. Somebody say morphine?
Oh, Ma, you're taking morphine?
Oh, Ma, is it good? So yeah, it's a very tense moment. Daniel decided to survey the land, or offered to survey the land, and he comes back and reports.
The survey doesn't help. Both deeds do cover the same land.
Oh no, what am I going
to
do?
Well, you're going to have to make a decision.
Well, more than one, I'm afraid.
Well, I've got another one to add to the pile. Seems Hank's been reading Matthew's law books, and now he's suing me.
What for?
False arrest.
Your minute's up, Dr. Mack.
Your minute.
Yeah, that's so bitchy.
And it just turns around and walks away. It's like, arrest that woman. Good thing nobody's sick in this episode.
This is another one where it's like, oh,
look.
Like the town is all like sicked out from the diphtheria, so we're good for a while.
Yeah, it's kind of true. So yeah, Michaela's learning that being the judge is extremely difficult. Crickets.
So these cases support Dorothy's argument that the old deeds prevail.
But there are all these other cases about easements, abandonment, squatters' rights.
Well, how do those apply?
All right, it's like this.
It's a great question.
Okay, it's like this. Remember back in the first season when Lauren wanted to take the homestead? And Sully cited squatter rights.
Right. It's like, remember when the mountain men talked about it, but you don't know about it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just crazy. And it's like, I don't know. What has Matthew done? Memorize these two books?
Yeah. Well, he's just like, yeah, right. He's just like looked up a couple of things.
The only thing he's missing is kind of like taking a pair of glasses off and putting the arm in his mouth while talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like accentuating with like a chalkboard.
If Dorothy bought her property, thinking that the cafe belonged to Grace and Robert E. and knowing how the land was used, then it belongs to them.
What if she paid in Dogecoin?
Even though she has a deed that says otherwise?
Especially since they have a deed that says so.
So what you're
saying
is
especially since they bought it with Dogecoin.
Yes. It's legal tender, you know.
There's a legal case for both of their positions.
I'm afraid so.
Well, how are judges supposed to make decisions in cases like these?
So that's another one of those things where it's like, that is way too simple of a question for her to be asking.
Well, there's a volume 3 that they don't have. All those answers are in that book, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, she just, for her to ask that question,
right.
I mean, come on.
Right, it's common sense, really. It's
like common sense, and it's like she has to make judgments all the time as a doctor. So I would think she would like understand the whole concept of like assessing the options and then picking what seems right. I don't know.
She could have been a lady doctor. I mean, a lady lawyer.
She's a doctor and a lawyer.
Well, I wonder when the first female attorney was.
I'll Google it.
Maybe we're looking
at
it.
If Matt can Google things, I can Google things.
I don't even know. He does more like Alta Vista.
Yeah, they're like around the table. He's like on his little iPad.
Yeah, right. He's like on his Windows 95 or something like that.
Okay, so first female lawyer in the United States was 1869.
Oh. Maybe
when
they should have brought her in.
She was admitted to the Iowa bar.
They should have brought her in.
Totally, whoa, this is kind of weird. So first one, 1847, female lawyer in Serbia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, not a Serbian, I mean, well, probably a Serbian person, but not in this country.
No, right. So like in Serbia.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then the first one in the United States was 1869. Hmm. 1870, a woman graduated from law school in the United States.
Her last name, Quinn.
This is surprising. 1872, we have an African-American female lawyer.
Really? That's interesting.
Kind of surprising, yeah.
Where does it say where that was?
No, but I can click on the name and see what we get.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though. I mean, 1872, it's super early.
Let's see. She graduated from Howard University School of Law in 1872.
Mm-hmm.
She was the first female admitted to the District of Columbia Bar. and the first woman admitted to practice before the Supreme Court of the District of Columbia.
What was her name?
Charlotte E. Ray.
How come we don't know more about Charlotte E. Ray?
Mm-hmm.
Or the other one?
Yeah. She practiced law for only a few years because prejudice against African Americans and women made her business unsustainable.
Yep.
And then she moved to New York and became a teacher. That is kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. So, back to 1873. Forward to 1873, rather. We're back at Grace's, and the lawyer wants to sue Grace because she goes to pour coffee and it's too hot. And it's funny
and
you
he had, like,
up.
Just seen that episode of Seinfeld.
Yes. Or that famous, like, McDonald's lawsuit. Which I always wonder about that kind of thing. You know, it's how hot could it have been? I mean, I guess it could have been. I don't mean the McDonald's one. I mean with him, like, right now.
Well, I also think I kind of hate it. I don't know. Like, so if you get coffee and you know it's hot, right?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't just go chugging it. Like, it's kind of on you.
Well, it's called hot coffee.
I
agree with you for once. You're right.
I asked for cold brew.
Is this decaf? What's the point? So, so he's going to sue her for scalding coffee. I mean, people are just sue happy all of a sudden. Like, you know, it's kind of crazy. Dr. Mike examines Lauren, can't really find anything wrong with him except that, you know, he has a history of lying. He's a well-known liar. The church looks a little bit better. It's painted but dingy, right?
I mean, it's kind of always looked like a tad dingy.
But this was painted white, though. This is, you know, in the early days, it wasn't painted white.
Well, the Reverend...
just dingy. Why is it so dingy? All right, so here we go. Michaela is handing out the judgments as you coin hashtag boss babe, which is just
Coin it. You've never seen that?
No, I have, but you coined it for this episode. I bet ever used hashtag boss babe for Michaela in this episode. Ever.
Yeah. She also makes $14,000 a week working from home. Ask her how. Boss babe.
Amazing.
Boss babe.
And only 6 hours a week?
Only 6 hours a week, right?
Have you ever
the
wanted
business
to...
pays for herself, have for you... itself.
Well, you know, I started doing it part-time, and now I'm quitting my job.
Mm-hmm.
How can I buy houses and flip them?
Just a couple hours a day on social media is all you need.
Wow. Yeah. PM me for more information.
Well, if everyone is present, let's get this started. Hank, you brought a suit against Daniel for false imprisonment. Section 50 of the revised statutes of Colorado defines...
No, I don't like Michaela's tone in this at all. She's far too comfortable. She's far too secure in what
she's
saying.
She's really, authoritative.
Yeah.
Considering that 5 minutes ago, she did not even understand how...
It's like, what does the judge do again, Matthew?
...finds false imprisonment as the unlawful violation.
And we have the old lady in the background again, by the way, which is just always nice. And we have Dorothy in her purple outfit. She looks like Barney.
...of the personal liberty of another. Well, since Daniel was acting as sheriff when he arrested you and had good cause to do so, your suit is denied.
Oh, why don't you just shoot me?
Gladly.
So fun.
However, I am going to rule that you be released from jail and dismiss Horace's civil charges against you for pain and suffering.
You can't do that!
Now, this is coming up right now. It's funny, I paused it at the exact moment of your screenshot, which is kind of hilarious.
Do you know...
Yeah, like, this is so memorable for people, I think. You know, people are always, like, cracking up about this.
I suffered bad! You know what it's like to be called raccoon face?
Allow me to finish. Hank, if you hit Horace again, you'll sit in jail until the circuit judge has time to get here.
And if I may suggest, I think it would be best if both of you stayed out of each other's way. Now, Lauren, your suit against Preston is denied because I was unable to find any bodily damage.
That's an outrage! I'll never walk right again!
And he gets up, of course, and he charges her.
That's funny.
Now, did you notice that Preston was holding the hands of his attorney? What is that all about? You did that zoom in. Oh my God, that's so funny.
I did not notice until
that's our T-shirt right there.
But it is so weird.
He's like so excited. And
it's so weird.
It's like they're on a roller coaster about to go over the top. The yeah. The, oh my God, it's so weird.
However, due to mitigating factors, you do not have to pay Preston's attorney's fees.
Mitigating factors?
You know, I believe that Preston has recently received some money from Lauren that should help pay your fee.
I'm not paying him anything. He didn't win.
Pay me or I'll sue you.
Good luck.
Everyone's like...
Not holding hands anymore.
I swear, that screenshot of Daniel is so funny. It's okay. My son and I have been doing this where we send each other pictures and we just zoom into one particular thing back and forth. It's just like, it's what it totally reminds me of.
Now, regarding these deeds.
Hey, we have that weird guy with the mustache again at 5028. I mean, 4028.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not sitting with his mom. He's sitting with some some old dud next to her.
Section 9 says the possession of the plaintiff, that would be Dorothy, shall be considered as extending to the boundaries embraced by the claim of such plaintiff. However, Section 11 says a neglect to occupy such claim for the period of 6 months shall be considered an abandonment as to preclude the claimant from maintaining the aforesaid actions. Which means that since you haven't been using the land and Grace and Robert E. have... that the land in question belongs to them.
I don't buy that for a second, by the way. I would imagine that at best, it would be like relinquished to the town.
Hmm, sure. Yeah.
You know, you can't just...
Well...
You can't just own something.
Dr. Mike gets to do what she wants because she is the judge.
That, I think that's section 1863. It's the do me function. It's like one final stipulation.
Yeah, she should just be like, the land is mine.
Exactly.
I am taking over the telegraph office as well as the cafe, and I am building a hospital.
And Matthew, build the things so we can hang people again. Dorothy, take Dorothy into custody. That'd be incredible.
That's all, Richard.
You just lost your best friend. That's what I think. Dorothy's all surprised and everything with her...
She's, like, really immature.
With her macrame sweater.
Yeah.
You know those rope macrame things from the
70s? Yeah, that thing is not keeping her warm.
No, that it's just... I don't know what that is. It's, like, one of those kind of... puzzles that people do with their hands with string. Bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like a bad yo-yo.
Yeah.
I'm sorry it didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. But I did what I thought was fair.
Is that it? Is that all you've got to say?
In the... Well, whoops.
Well, you asked me to make...
In the background, you just see Horace walking by with his bandage. I love that they have characters who are... all a big part of all of this, and you just see them in the background, and they might not be interacting or anything, but they're just kind of there.
They add so much
to
the whole scene. Yeah.
It makes so much sense, though, that they would just kind of be walking by and giving, like, Michaela a stink eye.
Make a decision, so I did.
Hank and Horace each got something. Lauren and Preston, too. Everybody except me.
But you refused to compromise, Dorothy. You forced me to make a decision.
But I didn't think it was going to go this far. I thought I was going to...
Preston didn't compromise either. So I don't know what she's talking
about. Right.
Yeah.
I guess I'd... I guess I got carried away. Everybody did.
You know...
And as you put it, Lauren feels as though he's learned a very valuable lesson.
Mm-hmm. Ladies, I think I really learned something out of all of this.
Well, that's wonderful, Lauren. What's that?
No more money-back guarantees.
And he does the squishy face.
Yeah, the little hairy.
Yeah. He's not even using the cane anymore. It's just, it is no shame. And now it's Matthew's turn to talk to Michaela. It's like everyone's online to talk to her like it's a wedding.
Yeah. You did good, Dr. Mike.
Well, thank you, Matthew.
Don't compliment Matthew, of course. Don't say, like, you did really well as well.
Yeah, like, thank you for teaching me how to read the law books.
Right, helping me be a judge.
You know, all this time I was afraid to make these decisions.
And now?
It was the right thing to do. And I hope I never have to do it again.
I feel like really close in the background. You see Wolf, and he's growling. No.
And he's suing.
Yeah, he's going to sue. He's going to sue Matthew for the killing of Pup.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really confused, you know. But poor Pup. Nobody represented him or her. I don't know. I think Pup is a boy, right?
I think Pup's a boy.
R.I.P. But I thought this was a good episode. I thought it ended kind of abruptly.
Contrary to popular belief, the 20th century. She has her little fact.
Oh, yeah. Do you want that?
Yeah, let's play the fact.
Contrary to popular belief, the 20th century is not the most litigious period in American history. In fact, a higher percentage of the American population sued each other in the 19th century than do today.
Litigious. Litigious. Oh, my God. I still think we should either write fake ones or do a read-through. Contrary to popular belief, the 20th century is not the most litigious period. Litigious. And the way she says sued.
Than do today.
Than do today. Is that good? I have to go. The limo is waiting.
Yeah. It's funny. Like she's, yeah. The way that the little facts are funny. I don't know. The way she reads them.
The way they're separately recorded, I think, is funny.
Yeah, right. It's just, it's funny.
Because it's done in a studio. There's no doubt about it. And it's like, okay, get really close. Get really close to the microphone. Contrary to popular belief. It's like, I'm just taking one take. One take. And Joe Lando's like, well, you want me to read it? I'll read it. It's like, no, Jane reads it.
Wolf will be like,
right. Joe, I would let you, but that dog will just be crying the whole time.
He's like reading the whole thing. He's like,
Joe, we were listening to the copy. What is that in the background? Oh, that's Wolf panting. And farting. Got into the
chewing cigarettes.
He got into like the craft services hummus. Well, Kelly, we've gotten to the end of another episode. Thank you so much for doing this. People should, if they want more Quinn talk, they should go to Dr. Quinncast on Facebook.
Yeah. So we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group.
We even have a face. Well, no, not a face. We have a Dr. Quinn forum, which should be out. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's more of an experiment, I think. I'm just curious to see if people will go back in time to the late 90s and use forums the way they used to be.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. To post an image and everything, it's you have to kind of copy code and do all this stuff. So yeah. I don't know if people will take the time to do this, but I would just be kind of interested if people want to participate in it.
Yeah. But, yeah, we have some good discussions in our group.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the episodes, you know, when they released, feedback and other things about the episodes, and people, we post, we have some memes and some kind of
hilarious memes.
Overall, I think it's a nice balance of humor and quality discussion.
The meme you put out the other day of feeding Wolf from the table with a fork,
I think
was
it's like
so
one
funny.
Of the best things I've ever spotted in the background.
Did you find that out of nowhere? Like, did you find that just the other day, or was that something you saw a long time ago?
I think I just noticed it the other day. I was just looking back and I was like, oh my gosh, he's feeding Wolf from his fork. Like, that's amazing. And then I wonder, like, if Joe Lando just decided to do that, or did they tell him to feed Wolf from the fork?
I want to know, and I'm going to guess he is. I'm going to bet Joe Lando is a tremendous animal lover and maybe a dog lover, and probably had a decent relationship with this dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they worked really closely together, you know, for years.
Yeah, and to feed the dog with a fork, I mean, I do that with the one dog who will do that. And mm-hmm. I think it's funny. Like, it just really made me think, like, it made me kind of like Joe Lando a little bit more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's just, like, it was endearing. Like, when I saw it, yeah. I actually, so I was watching on Sunday night, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's adorable.
It's so sweet,
and then
yeah.
I actually, like, rewound it, because I'm like, Pete, you have to see this. He's feeding the dog, like, you know, from the fork. I thought it was just, it's really cute, and it's really, like, endearing.
Did Harriet, like, then say to Dodgy, it's like, we're going to get food tonight from the fork.
Yeah, that fork. Yeah, actually, like, before bed, it takes a really long time to get ready for bed, because I have to, like, individually spoon feed them, you know, their meals.
Don't laugh. My Yoki who will not eat chunky food. Well, now he will, because he's competing with the other dog to eat. But if back at, like, when we first got Yoki, everything was, like, kind of hand-fed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of ridiculous.
Well, so when we just had the one dog, it was kind of like that, where, like, it wasn't so, like, that he was, like, hand-fed everything, but he was, I mean, he's always been pretty fussy, and, like, a lot of foods he wouldn't like. Had a really hard time finding a food he would consistently eat. But then since we had the second dog, he's eating really well now, because she'll eat anything, and, like, fast, you
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he has to compete with her, because if he doesn't eat it when it's there, like, he's not going to be able to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually has put on a little bit of weight, too.
That's good.
You know, which is good, because he could have used a little bit of weight, you know?
But that's good. I think it gives them a good, I mean, it's a good thing that they're eating, you know? It's, like, a good thing to be competitive over.
Yeah. So, well, competitive enough, like, they don't, like, fight over it, because some dogs get really territorial. They're, like, not really like that, but it just, like, forces him basically to eat, otherwise he's not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, he figured that out pretty fast after we got her, and she was just like, oh, what's this, a second bowl? And she starts eating that. I love my new home.
Two bowls! Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Harriet just seems like she's the, is she the leader of the pack, do you think? Like, is she the dominant or no?
No. I mean, I don't know. Because, like, it's weird because their personalities are so different. And she'll actually, because she'll kind of do her little, like, you know, wolf face and, like, kind of growl at him and stuff and, like, get him to back off. And she'll do that to other dogs, too. But she also, in some ways, is really passive. Where, like, I think she just, like, doesn't care. Like, she just, like, ignores most things because she's, like, can't be bothered with it. Whereas, like, Dodgy is just very, like, needs to have attention all the time. Like, there are dogs around. Like, he has to have the attention of other dogs, where she's just kind of like, I don't care. You know, she'd be like, that dog doesn't even have to talk to me. I really don't care either way. You know,
you're
like, really, they're just very different.
You really got comfortable with Harriet very quickly, it seems.
Yeah, and he's always trying to, like, instigate stuff, too. He does that. Like, he'll kind of, like, pick on her and try to get her to, like, react, and she just won't for a long time, and then finally she'll be like, wah. it's so funny how they, like, teach each other, like, habits, because she used to never bark at another dog,
mm-hmm.
and she usually doesn't, but, like, if he's around and he'll bark, so then she starts barking, because he does. And, like, he has never growled at another dog. And we had him at the dog park, and he was, like, growling at a dog.
Oh, my God.
Because she growls at him, you know? I'm like, they're teaching each other.
Well, I mean, it's also, I guess it's also a good habit to have sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, he wasn't, like, aggressive about it.
Yeah.
He was just, like, doing it. And I'm like,
look what I can do.
Like, in 2 years, you've never growled. Like, what do you
mean? Until he turns on you.
Yeah.
No, he won't turn on you. But Kelly, thank you so much for doing this episode. As always, I appreciate all the work that you put into them, and I look forward to the next one.
I do too.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quincast in iTunes.